If you want to relive what happened after the Michael Brown shooting, you'll want to see the documentary Whose Streets. It recalls difficult and controversial days and months, but it personalizes the people and the passion behind the events that followed the shooting. It will turn some people on and some people off. St. Louis and Damon Davis and Sabah Faloyan are producer-directors of Whose Streets. I interviewed them yesterday before they attended the Michael Brown Memorial Observance in Ferguson. I asked what their objectives were with the film, which clearly centers on the views of Ferguson activists.
I really want people to take away what happened here from the point of view of the people that were in the streets and the people that were demonized and villainized by the media. I really want black people to see this and just know that they're not crazy for the way they feel, and I hope that the people of St. Louis and Ferguson are very proud of themselves for the actions they took this time 3 years ago.
Sabah, what do you want folks to take away from it, particularly white folks?
You know, I'm not sure how to answer that question, being a black woman. I don't know exactly where white folks stand on black people, whether or not they see our humanity, whether or not they accept it, whether or not they have any motivation or willpower to fight so that we can have the same securities they would like for themselves and their families. But I do want the people who go through these types of experiences to, like Damon said, know that their experiences are real. There's a huge trauma that comes with experiencing oppression and then simultaneously being told that it's not real, it didn't happen, mm-hmm. It's not that bad. And I hope everyone who sees this film learns to watch the news with a grain of salt and not believe everything that they see and hear on cable.
Then I'm guessing that you're not, you didn't make this film as an objective documentary in that sense of the word. You had a particular point of view.
Absolutely. And also, you know, not only did we not make it as an objective documentary, but we made it to challenge the idea of objectivity in documentary, to say that if we could make a documentary that shows an entire situation from a completely different lens, then doesn't that mean that the lens you saw in the first place was also subjective?
Damon, what sort of a reaction have you had? I know this has been shown in various places. One of our staffers saw the presentation in Columbia a few months ago, and she said that when it was over, half the people applauded and the other half were angry.
Yeah, that's great. That means we did our job. and we've had an overwhelmingly positive response. And I take that as a positive response. You know what I mean? It should leave you feeling uncomfortable. It should leave you with thoughts. And like Sabah said, questioning everything. Like, so from what I have gotten, except for, you know, the occasional, internet troll, you know what I mean? Like, for the most part, we've gotten overwhelmingly positive responses from this film.
I found it extraordinarily powerful to watch. And I was certainly uncomfortable, but maybe for different reasons than you might think. It was reliving that experience and going through it again. I mean, I think that's part of its power and part of its ability to heal. Is heal the right word to apply to a film like this?
Yeah, I hope so. Again, and that's another thing we set out to do. It's just like give. I'll also give people some closure. Like we were saying, like when you're walking around thinking that not only like were you lied on, you were lied to, and the fact that with this film, we had an opportunity to set the record straight for the people that lived it, and for them, you know, for them to like not so much go back, but go through it, like move through it, and I hope we can provide some kind of healing for the people that lived it, including ourselves. I think that's what we was doing too while we was making this, trying to heal.
Sabah, one of the things I also took away from this film was the fact that people who do stereotyping, and there are plenty of them out there, would do well to pay attention to the intellect of the young people in this film. I found them extraordinarily bright, very savvy, and very plugged into their world and the world. Talk about that for a moment from your perspective.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you made that observation. And that was something that I was immediately struck by. And it wasn't a surprise to me, you know, being a 26-year-old black woman. I know that my peers are intelligent and insightful. But it was just so delightful to realize that we had all of the information, all the sound bites, all the quotes that we needed right there in the same people that we were following. Mm-hmm. There was no need to go to a professor and a specialist and, you know, people had the analysis as well as the drive to go out in the street and apply it.
Another thing that I found most interesting was toward the end of the film when you had the young people, the very young people, chanting and actually mimicking the chants of their parents, the chants that had been made in the streets. There's really a message in that, Damon, isn't there?
Exactly. And we were shooting for a very long time before we actually had like the epiphany that the movie is about the children and them being prepared, being prepped for a fight that they're going to have to go through every single day of their lives. And I think that this film is just it's a small thing compared to, like, the actual routine that I see these people, like, that are in the film put their children through and the amount of teaching and I guess preparation for a fight that's been going on for hundreds of years and for one that you're going to have to live through every day. And I think by looking at these kids, I think we're in pretty good shape because they're a lot further than I was when I was that age.
So, well, that's another thing that I took away from the film is the fact that, and we've said that a lot on our program here, is that the young people, I'm not talking about the very young now, I'm talking to people about the young people who are in the streets, that they really are the future. I mean, it's in their hands. And if they handle it or mishandle it, we either go forward or we go backward. Thoughts?
Yeah. It's funny, you know, the question of who gets to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I think that we live in a present that was created by, you know, the people who are still great gatekeepers. And we can name a laundry list of problems. And yet there's this real resistance to the idea that, you know, young people could have the ability, the intelligence, the strategy to do a better job or, you know, even on par. And it's like, you know, we haven't gotten it right yet. No one's gotten it right yet. And so I'm really encouraged when I see elders like Montega and people like Jamala who actively try to pass the torch and pass the information, but also pass the platform and the mic and you know, trust in us because at minimum we have a vested interest in improving the future, and we will make mistakes. I think it's the same when it comes to Black self-determination as well. I think people are really, really hesitant to want to follow our lead when it comes to what's best for the community, you know, let alone the country. I think we're seeing an administration that's backlash to Black leadership. And, you know, so who gets to make mistakes? Who gets to try and fail? Who gets to try and try again? It's a really interesting question to me.
You're not from St. Louis, but you've spent some time here and you certainly know the territory, given all the work you've done in the film. How well do you think we have done as a community, as you can see it from someone outside looking in, since August 9th of 2014?
As an outsider, I'm really struck by how the city is designed almost on a physical level to allow people to be insulated from situations if they don't want to participate. And so I see this amazing community that grew out of Ferguson, the organizers and activists and people who are still connected, still, you know, the Books and Breakfast program still going on every month here in St. Louis. And, you know, Kayla Reed, who you see in the film, still organizing, just recently organized a bailout from the workhouse over that really, really hot weekend that we had. And so those kind of things, I think, are really, really amazing. And that kind of stuff goes on all over the city, the art community here. But at the same time, I think that there are people in places that still remain completely insulated and completely untouched, almost as though this never happened. And, you know, I think that's happening all across the country, and that's what worries me.
I was about to ask, how far is the reach of all of that since 3 years ago?
I think all across the country there are people who have been polarized, who have had their eyes open, who are really ready for a change. There are people who have been polarized in the opposite direction, who feel like they've had some kind of status, you know, robbed from them. And there are people who just remain completely in a bubble, in their own world, would rather go about their day and not pay attention to this. And, you know, I just come back to the quote, a small dedicated group of people can change history. It doesn't take everybody. It just takes enough of us getting active enough.
Damon, you're a homegrown.
Mm-hmm.
How far do you think we've come in the 3 years?
When we're talking about we, kind of got to define who we is, because I think the people...
The collective.
The people, I see a lot of people my age that got radicalized in a moment. and like Saba was saying, decided to just take things into their own hands, and like how they doing like really grassroots local organizing and trying to help kids and policing their own neighborhoods now. I think that's a very positive thing. I also saw different laws get enacted, like the ID card for voters, and like just things that seem very, very archaic and are definitely a reply to people trying to stand up for their own well-being. And like that, it doesn't surprise me. It disappoints me that people are so hell bent on holding on to this institution and this idea of racism, that they'd go back to 1955 if need be. You know what I mean? And that's sad. But as far as the people that are under the boot heel, again, I'm very proud of them and to be associated with them. I just see a lot of possibility and a lot of hope in the way people are reacting to being pushed down.
I think of the line that Tef Poe gave in your film, "This ain't your daddy's civil rights movement anymore."
Yeah, we've heard a lot of different takes on that, and I think we've talked about this before, but I think we both come to the conclusion that it means it doesn't mean that invalidates what they did then. It's just time to pass the mic. It's just time to you did your work. You know what I mean? Like, in a good way, and we thank you for your service. And I think it's just time to pass the baton. And that ain't necessarily, like, that means hard work for us. It's not a diss. It's just like, thank you so much.
So, but I didn't see it as a diss. I think it was very clear. Very clear
right
what
on.
He was saying.
Right,
you obviously do too.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the utmost respect for the people who came before us. I know that, you know, I wouldn't know what I know. I wouldn't have been poised to come here were it not for all of that work. And so, it's an honor to try to take up that mantle. And I think it's all of our duty, our rent on earth, you know, is to fight to make it a better place.
You guys got to go, but I have to ask one last question. That is, at the end of the film, you say, "Thank you, St. Louis." Thank you for what, Damon?
Thank you for your courage and your service to this this continuum that this movement is. Like this play, there's a reason why this happened here and nowhere else. There's a specific spirit and I guess aura around this place, both good and bad. But it's like because of where it sits. Another activist friend of mine, her name is Elizabeth Vega. She would say that this is the heart chakra of the country, and there's a reason why all these people descended on this place, and there's a reason why this happened here, and I think it's right to pay homage to this place and these people, because without them we wouldn't be sitting here talking, and the world has been changed by what people did here.
Sabah, you want to add to that in any way?
I've heard Mike Brown's parents talk about him saying that he was going to leave and then come back and change the city and change the world, and I find it very, very painful. But powerful how true that was. And so I'm really grateful to St. Louis for showing me, you know, what it means to really be willing to put your life on the line for something that you believe in. And I'm thankful to Mike Brown just for having lived for the time that he did. I just really... Yeah, I don't even fully have the words. I've really been transformed completely, my own life, by this experience. And I'm just very grateful for people who were willing to put the day-to-day aside and really get down to, you know, questions of what does it mean to be a human and what really matters and, you know, things that we rarely think or talk about. So.
Well, I know you're eager to get off and pay tribute to him. Thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with the film.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Whose Streets begins screening at the Tivoli Theater in University City at noon tomorrow. At the 6:45 p.m. screening on Friday and 7 p.m. screening on Saturday, filmmaker Damon Davis will be part of a Q&A about the film. Whose Streets opens nationwide tomorrow and will continue playing with regularity at St. Louis theaters and at theaters across the rest of the country. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.